Jackson 5, huh?
Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight.
And you?
This one is about the youth. We have to be sad. Sad face. Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. As always, we're here again. It's Friday and we are here with yet another report that is, bearing 90% bad news and 10% good news, as according to my own measurement. But hey, it's Friday. I hope you're all, in Friday-ish mood. And because, well, I am, at least I was until I went through the report that we are going to go through today. Yeah, well, because the report ruined, my Friday, I decided to make it my own personal mission to share it with you so that it ruins yours too. And, as yesterday we were talking about, the, report that is, I'm calling it the Hubbly Bubbly report. And, that's
not. Okay. Okay. You'll have to explain why you're calling this a report.
That one. Oh, no, that's, that's the one for yesterday.
Yeah.
This one is also another report that's coming out of, that's coming out of the National Council. And this one is, somewhat has has a lot of similarities to reports that we have already done. Not like exactly similar, but it's similar to the to the Capital Projects report. Yeah, in a way. Although the Capital Project is more like Magnifica in in scope compared to this one is more rookie-ish.
Yeah.
Because it's basically based on like youth empowerment. This one is it's like Capital Projects type of report, but this one is more like a look at projects that are just intended for youth empowerment, not just development wise as we saw with the although this one is also like development in nature, but in terms of magnitude, like the Nkurunkuru, tanneries Oshana. The tanneries Oshana, and then Nkurunkuru is the textile,
garment factory.
Yeah,
actually two. It was the garment factory in Nkurunkuru.
Yeah.
And Kietmansoop also had a supposed garment initiative, which was problematic because the facility and the equipment were meant. That's now under these NIDA projects that we discussed.
Mm-hmm.
The facility and the facility and the machinery were meant to produce something and also to give skills, or to dispense skills as well as also to assist in our agro processing, meaning building a agro industrial complex, from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the Kietmansoop is not so good.
Like they say, easier said than done.
Yeah, but the Kietmansoop between the Nkurunkuru one was literally that the supposed entity that was given the custody of the machinery, as well as also the premises, they were meant to make something of it. The machinery plus the entity moved into another premises without informing the NIDA guys about that. Whereas the Nkurunkuru garment factory is standing empty with, once again, just the people that are supervising the infrastructure present to talk to the that were there to speak to the standing council, standing committee people who came to visit and obviously see, how far did things go.
Okay, one thing that I'm really, really appreciating about all these reports, because now I'm just, un momento. Because now I just have all three reports that we have been through.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm so proud of us.
And you and me.
Yeah. Okay, fine. And John. The thing is.
I was a bit surprised. You were like, I'm so proud of us. I was like, what? What? You really say that, Helmut, about us?
I'm so proud of us. Okay, first of all, development-wise, in terms of just sharing, sharing with our very wonderful and very important listeners, with our very important listeners, with you know, if you look at all the reports that we've basically gone through, like we've gone through one about the National Council report on a standing committee on the, you know, follow up of the regional oversight visit to Kara, Oshodhunjupa, Zambezi, Kavango West, Kavango East region on agro processing plant. We've done that, and we actually looked more like you know, Namibia has basically developmental goals as you know, national sustainable development goals, SDG.
Yeah.
I almost went with the SGD. But anyway.
It's Friday, don't worry. It's
yeah.
Friday.
I know, Friday. It's Friday. Friday. Yeah.
Lovely
Friday,
stuff. Bye. Lovely stuff.
Yeah, and now that one, now that one is coming out of the National Council, is development related, and one that is we also been through about the one for parliamentary committee coming out of the National Council. Now this one is on economics and public administration, the one where they went on oversight visit on capital projects, and also in. Kunene, Omsati, Oshana, Ohangwena, Oshikoto, Zambezi, and, you know, the two Kavangos and Oshodhunjupa, also development related.
Mm.
Now, this one is similar to the previous two, which also have a lot of similarities.
Mm.
But this one is more like, these are projects that are just specifically tailored towards the youth.
Yes.
Yeah. This one is just specifically tailored, for the youth, from the funding to the training to the, to the oversight that they went to basically look at, assess some kind of like a status report. How are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. From the time that we implemented this and from the time that we gave you guys training and, albeit the funding came in a little earlier, some of them, coming up with the business ideas in 2018, and only the funds were only made available somewhere in 2023, when some of the recipients, this supposed to be recipients, have already thrown in the towel. Mm. While the funds were made available, and then those funds that were made available, now obviously it's now put given into put in few hands, and some of them tried to to the best of their ability to apply their training in not only in operating their business but also managing the funds, and some of them just did.
But also to help here, Helmut, for example, I know that you also began on the funds discussion. We have to also let the listeners know that this standing committee is different from the one of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Because we obviously looked at hookah. That was health, labor affairs and social welfare.
Mm-hmm.
The standing committee on the NIDA or the agro processing was the guys from economics and public accounts, right?
The one for agro processing?
Yeah, it's economic and public accounts, right?
Agro processing, hang on a second, I have that one here. The one for agro processing, this one is the report of the National Council Standing Committee on Public Accounts and Economy.
Yeah. So it's economy and public accounts.
Public accounts, yeah.
So as we obviously are highlighting three different standing committees, each one speaking what you can see, what they're first doing, these three conversations that we had. Obviously, today is number three of that sort of like holistic view.
Yeah.
These are three standing committees, entirely different from each other, from the same National Council, but they are giving us a 360-degree view of certain particular things also on the ground, like the other standing committees from the National Assembly did.
Yeah.
For example, when they showed up at the capital projects sites and they asked the councillors of the specific local authorities.
And they went, what project?
Do you know about the projects in your locality? Like you said, what projects? Now, what we are seeing here is obviously that this visit took place in 2024 last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for you, dear listeners, to know, this visit did not take place after 21 March 2025, because this particular subject matter of this committee, the standing committee, is technically with one specific stakeholder not being in existence anymore. That being the Ministry of Youth, Sport and what was its other name? Ministry of Youth, Sport and something else. So youth and sport, as you do know now, dear listeners, find itself now in Ministry of Education. It's got that massive name, MESAC. Ministry of Education,
it's
Innovation.
A good thing you found an abbreviation for it.
No, it's the abbreviation. The ministry's people.
Already made up the abbreviation?
Yeah, it's on the WhatsApp. We were also like, it's a, look at this WhatsApp group's names change. So they were busy importing and adding a whole bunch of names.
Sort of like, upgrading it.
Yeah, so technically just mashing together two WhatsApp groups into one. Now, it's Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sport, Arts and Culture. And the old ministry's name was Ministry of Sports, Youth
and National Service.
So now you can obviously see that national service and the youth and the sport aspects are all now absorbed into the new ministry. That super ministry that I keep referencing as now as a super ministry. That super ministry now has absorbed all those particular aspects. Okay. That point is now unknown. Because one of the first things that were asked from the ministry guys, that was the first stop that they made, was what is the rate of youth unemployment? Because the council wanted to know, or the standing committee wanted to know, okay, so what is your latest statistics? No, we need to wait from the latest stats from NSA. That is actually a good response because they can't go and answer from 2018 or extrapolate from 2018's labor force survey, which was based upon 2011's census. Yeah. Because then it would have been a skewed vision or a skewed response they would have given the standing committee. Okay. Great stuff. Trying to understand gender split and all that. Once again, they can't answer that. However, they just gave a response in terms of that the current national youth policy is based upon a youth policy that's supposed to end in 2030. Now, this is where...
From 2020.
Yeah, from 2020 to 2030. Now, this is where things get weird, Helmut. That ministry doesn't exist now anymore.
Uh-oh.
That ministry doesn't exist anymore. The next question we've got to ask is that policy then still viable and feasible? Because some of the officers and agencies that fell under that ministry are now under the super ministry.
Yeah.
And how does that discussion now look like?
Like legislative wise, do you like also like make the all the acts that they were using when they were separate ministry?
Yeah.
Do they drag them along with them so they can regulate them under the Ministry of Education?
Exactly, because
nice.
This particular standing committee now, they now have to ask a particular question of, okay, this work that we did in 2024. Because this report is only released now in May of 2025. A whole year later. Okay, not a whole year. I'm lying. Well, it's going to be close to a year. Because I think it's almost like 8 months between September last year and now.
Yeah.
It's almost like an 8 month period. And it's actually more. It's 9 months. It's actually nine. It's actually 9 months. So 9 to 10 months. Yeah. So that particular period in just,
the old baby you're looking at.
At just releasing this report. They, remember, Almut, they did this between, I think, the first week of September up to the 20th or 20-somethingth of that month.
Mm-hmm.
This is when they all did this. Only for us to see this report in May 2025. Let that settle in. It is a little bit wastage of time and effort. I know S&Ts were paid. Hotel spaces were paid. Foods were eaten. Yeah, thank you for showing up.
Thank you for contributing to the, tourism industry at this point. hospitality. Let's go with hospitality.
Catering.
Petrol. Oh yeah, that also.
Thank you for traveling.
Yep.
Because now that ministry doesn't work anymore, doesn't function anymore.
Okay, that's a very interesting one. Now, here's one thing. Here's one thing that that's a very interesting that was pointed out in this report. Actually, you have a bunch of things going on here, but the objective. Let's just look at the objective first before we get to the financial management. My God, we need financial education.
The reason why I'm rubbing my eyes is they literally were given the 2018 labor force survey statistics.
Yeah, they were given that. Yep.
Yeah, guys. That's the shocker.
I know. You see, the objective for the oversight the objective of the oversight visit was for the committee to assess the status of the youth project facilitators and financed by the Ministry of Youth, Sports and National Service. Again, non-existent anymore. And National Service and other institutions dealing with youth empowerment programs under its jurisdiction. The main aim was to assess the status, obviously, and this is more of a status of the youth project funded under the Namibia Youth Credit Scheme and the 121 constituency youth enterprise. Now, that enterprise, that 121 constituency youth enterprise comes up a lot in this report. And that's because it's one of, what's the way that you phrased it, youth empowerment. Basically, yeah. It's a means of combating unemployment. Now, the report does point out that, it puts a lot of emphasis in rural areas. Upskilling, especially of the people that are, seem to have thrown a towel into this whole education thing. And,
that's the phrase you're going with. The hell? Okay, it's Friday, guys. It's Friday.
It's Friday. Yeah, so. You see, the targeted people is some, there's one of our listeners, was an avid listener, I believe he's late now, unfortunately, who like to ask a question with, that sort of that whole, conversation I remember we had here, came popping up in my head when I read this, but because the question he was asking was, the people that are failing, those ones that are not making it basically, and I'm paraphrasing it, the people that are not making it academically, they are also part of our society, and we don't have a landfill where we have to send them. So what do we do? How do we train them?
A landfill?
Yeah. How do we incorporate them economically in our society? Now, this project, I think, it's safe to say that it was a very good initiative. Something that is youth targeted. Yeah. Specifically targeted for the youth. And specifically targeted for those that are in rural areas. And those that are more like, obviously like Albert Einstein said, not everyone, well, everyone is a genius, but you can't judge a fish by its ability to to climb a tree. So there are those ones maybe that are like, I'm not very good in the class, but I think, I'm going to give business a shot.
Yeah.
And, out of the kindness of Namibian taxpayers and the Namibian government, actually it's more of a responsibility of the government, they decided to set aside with other stakeholders, the Namibian Development Bank came together and basically decided to make available $1 million for it, for training, and then 8 million. For sort of like funding the, funding the different initiatives across the country. Now, one of the things that is pointed out by a lot of recipients is that, the money took a very long time to arrive. The money did not arrive in time enough for them to start their businesses. And now that's the part where I'm going like, okay, I'll give you an example. Where's that? There's one in the Rongo region.
The money took too long.
To arrive.
Because they wanted to do what with the money?
Start their business early enough when they still didn't have a lot of competition around them.
That's a pretty dumb idea. That's a pretty dumb response. I'm really sorry, but it's the dumbest response I've ever heard in my life, Helmut.
Oh, dear Lord.
Let me explain a scenario.
We'll get to training later. Please explain your scenario.
Let me explain a scenario.
Yeah.
And this is like the following scenarios based upon, firstly, what I've been trained in. Uh-huh. Secondly, what I have seen in Namibia and in the world. Mm-hmm. And another one in terms of the best ideal position. Mm-hmm. So, I know someone that sold books. Uh-huh. But before that person sold books, or could sell books, or start get into the market of selling books, there was already established competition. And even the established competition had established market share. Actually, best example, Helmut, is also take a look at, like us, Eagle FM. Mm-hmm. Before we stepped in, there was established competition. So, giving a reason as to the money did not show up enough, which gave the competition, which you did not know existed, the opportunity to start themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I don't want to do this anymore. It's the dumbest excuse I've ever heard in my life.
You know what? In just a few minutes, we are going to take a quick commercial break now. After that.
Few seconds.
Just a few seconds. Yeah. On the other side. I will take you to, you know, to Valvis Bay Rural Mini Market and, you know, more like some of the points they made with regards to the delay in funding and, just a few things happened there and what, you know, according to, after the committee's observation, what their response was to some of the, you know, to some of the, call it excuses given. Mm. Oh, you're going to love it. Because the committee was like, how is that our fault?
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge. As we invest in time on our network enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage. For the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply. Always
get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, you're listening to A Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, and we are looking at the National Council report on capital projects, but for the youth, you know, capital projects, but, you know, small ones. Mm-hmm. Intended for youth empowerment in obviously an attempt to calling it an attempt, I think is the correct word, but I will steer clear out of it, and also obviously, and that's in line with our national development goals. Now, where are we? So the standing committee is out there, you know, looking at the training was given. After training, we'll get to the training part. I just wanted to make the points that were given by some of the recipients of the money that was made available for this youth empowerment related financing. Mm. Valvis Bay Rural Mini Market is a youth-led enterprise which sells food and small households, and the business is being operated in a cargo container. It's Valvis Bay, that's hardly surprising, which is temporarily located at Valvis Bay Rural Constituency Office due to lack of space/land. Then you have now, they go through all that. You know, you go through all that, and there's a second paragraph which is not very important to me. Delays in the actual commencement of the business negatively affected its operation. This business anticipated making profits as there was no similar businesses in the area at the time. However, when the funds were made available in 2020, you know, were made available in 2024, the area had seen many shops, particularly supermarkets, operating, which brought stiff competition, competition to the mini market. Now, the delay also resulted in beneficiaries losing interest. Then it goes on, blah, blah, blah. Now, on the part of, you know, that stiff competition, that's when you go straight to letter F. I mean, no pun intended. Now, in regards to the business inability to attract customers due to its location, the committee was of the opinion that the business lacked marketing strategy and proper branding, which made it difficult for customers to locate the business. Ouch.
So, okay, it says the business inability to attract customers due to its location.
Yeah. According to them, the money was made, if you go to B, a lot of things will be clear. That a business has five beneficiaries, of which three are women and two are men. Actually, where would have been? I'll explain that.
I saw where the where is.
Yeah. Thank you.
I saw where the where is.
See, the business idea was conceived and approved in 2018.
Yeah.
However, funding was only available in 2024 and the business only began operating, early 2024 and they only started operating in June. This report. I mean, this visit was conducted in September of the same year.
Yeah.
Now, after receiving a loan of 228,000, of which an amount of 33,000 was given in cash as a startup. Now, that's when C comes in with the delays. The delay is the actual commencement of the business negatively affected its operations. Now, the business anticipated making profit as there was no similar business in the area at the time. However, the funds were made available in 2024. The area has seen many shops, particularly supermarkets, operating which brought stiff competition to the mini market. Then you can just skip all that gibberish and go to F.
No, not F. Go to H.
H.
The way. Where is it?
Oh, yeah. The committee was informed that the recommendations were made to have the business located to Farm 37, which is about 10 to 20 kilometers outside Valvis Bay. Well, look, that takes us back to F. Well, marketing, branding.
Helmut.
Channel your customer by 20 to 30 kilometers.
Do you know how far 10K is out of a town is? What kind of customer base are you willing to attract?
Leaving a supermarket in town.
Yes. With a new mall in the town.
Well, unless Valvis Bay is full of people that are hellbent on supporting local, they will drive 20 kilometers.
There's a massive truck port in Valvis Bay leading on that way out.
Hey, man, look, we're trying here. But seriously, 20 kilometers?
Do you know what the truck port has?
What is it?
A truck port has got a fancy, nice little deli, a lovely takeaway session, coffee you can make, and lovely ablution facilities. Who's going to drive 10 to 20 Ks outside of Valvis?
You know, dedicated.
For a shop.
Dedicated customers.
For a shop.
Mm-hmm. Short answer, no one. No one in their right mind.
Do you know what's the worst part I've seen? Going into Valvis, specifically that as you come into Valvis, that area where that new mall is opposite, I don't know which suburb is that is on the right. As you come into Valvis, on the right of Valvis, and you've got that mall on the left, that Dunes Mall on the left. There's a suburb there. There's a whole bunch of space between that suburb and I think a road. There's like a massive, piece of land sitting there. Helmut, one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in Namibia is our town layout. For some reason, our town planners and town engineers love leaving these massive tracts of land between a road and an urban area, or a suburb, or a part of a town. There's a massive piece of land. For example, the massive piece of land between, what's that place? There's a massive piece of land between that new, construction area of, this highway that leads you out to Rehoboth,
mm-hmm.
and that sees the connecting point of Western Bypass, where it flings you here past, Kleine Cooper, and then it runs here past these, you know, in these small parts of these. They're busy building that connecting point that it connects just before you get to the highway, to the airport, or to the highway to the airport.
Yeah.
That part that leads you to the airport. There's a massive piece of land between Grove Mall and the highway. There's land there, Helmut.
Oh, well, maybe it's already bought, you know, or privately owned. Well, I don't know, but seriously, now, look, 20 to 30 kilometers, that's just, I mean, that's just brutal. They will need a whole new business model.
What I'm showing you
yeah.
is wastage in design by the land planners, the town planners.
Yeah.
Wastage in design by the infrastructure implementers. And then wastage in thinking by trying to pull someone as a customer 20 k's outside of a town. It never would have worked. I'm sorry, Helmut. Distance is a big issue in Windhoek, in Namibia. Even in Windhoek.
Uh-huh.
It never would have worked. It really wouldn't have worked. I know that the first issue, that one of, you know, the competition got here before us.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But if we realize where the designated places would have been,
mm-hmm.
10 to 10, 20 Ks outside of the town.
Nah, that's not going to cut it.
It's not going to cut it. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Look, but how were these things not seen though from day one? Like, when you are presenting your business plan, a business plan or basically before funding an individual or making money available for them.
Yeah.
Like, aren't these like things that you're supposed to at least, I mean, these are individuals that were trained. Shouldn't they have been assisted in trying to find like the suitable place?
Well, if we
look at 10 kilometers is just not going to, it says 10 to 20.
Yeah. If we look at the enablers of this particular 121 constituency youth enterprises.
Yeah.
Remember, that's the project's name.
Yeah.
They want 121 constituency youth enterprises across the country. Now.
Sounds similar to
that last section just before we understand what 121, what these enterprises were, the ones that were visited.
Mm-hmm.
It states there that a tripartite agreement was signed between the Ministry of Sport, Youth and National Service,
mm-hmm.
the Development Bank,
yeah.
and an entity known as Nantu Likwafela,
yeah.
Aiming to operationalize loans for 28 rural youth enterprises within the larger framework of the 121 youth enterprises.
Yeah, from what I gather, that Nantu Likwafela entity is also part of that initiative.
So it was also a youth enterprise?
Uh-huh. Just keep reading.
The goal is to provide financial support and socioeconomic opportunities for youth. So, one youth enterprise is trying to dispense the loans for the other youth enterprises. Oh my goodness. That's why, guys, we were very happy on this Friday to talk about this discussion.
Until.
So, out of all this particular discussion, it doesn't even mention Nantu Likwafela specifically, Hamut, just at that instant only.
Yep.
Because all the other guys seem to have to work through this agreement and the enablers of this agreement. Which, it makes it weird.
This is one of those things that is referred to in the good book that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
I mean, because even under the Oshikango Youth Trading Enterprises,
mm-hmm.
It mentions there under Section D of that, of the Oshikango Youth Trading Enterprise scenario.
Mm-hmm.
The enterprise was also facing transport challenges for delivery of its materials.
Oh, yeah, of the blocks.
Yeah. Mm. Another concern that was raised was that some of the beneficiaries are losing interest in the project due to the long waiting periods for payments from the Nantu Likwafela enabler.
Yeah.
So, Nantu itself.
Although,
Nantu Likwafela.
Yeah.
Why are they writing it Nantu as if it's, you know, the NANTU is what? The teachers union.
National teachers union. Yeah. Teachers union.
And they didn't talk to NANTU Likwifela, the committee, which is weird. But once again, it pointed out payments were taking too long for, you know, to assist in starting things off.
Payments were taking too long. That's, you and I at this point, we are not, you know, this is actually hardly surprising because, well, we've been through the Oshakati-Do discussion.
Yeah.
This is where, I'm sure there's multiple factors involved into the delay of the, you know, disbursement of the payments.
Mm.
But, obviously, you know, like, procedural, you know, fulfillment also have to be carried out, like the same way that, on the Oshakati courtroom door, when they were asked why it was taking too long to replace the door, and the Minister of Works were like, that's not on us, that's on the procurement procedures, because we have to follow everything to the letter.
Mm.
And, which is standard when you are dealing with money. Because, at the end of the day, you want to keep a record of where everything is going.
Mm.
Except in this case, it did not actually, it was not actually a case, because a lot of these recipients, especially, not the BRICS one, like the block one, the one that pointed out that, he had transport issues.
Yeah.
Like that's one of the very, one of the best stories you will read out of the seven entities that were visited.
Yeah.
Like, there are these other guys that were just, using the money for some, channeling it. Someone took part of the money because they had an initial idea that they submitted, obviously, to the Minister of Youth and the National Development Bank, to sort of like what the money that they will be given will be used for. But as soon as that money was made available, there was a lot of, who should have access to it. I think in a group of five, only two had access to the money. Like, access to the bank, to the bank account.
Mm.
But, and then, now you had, an individual that came in and were, asked, I think for about $2,000 for them to pay for their school fees or something. And then, someone asked for, $5,000 to start a restaurant, which is,
A restaurant doesn't take $5,000 to start with. I'm really sorry. A restaurant doesn't take $5,000 to start.
Well, a local one.
Local how, Helmut?
Yeah.
Then you're becoming just a fish and chip shop. You know, a takeaway.
Uh-huh.
That I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Helmut, I'll tell you a scary story. A story that I couldn't believe in.
Not another one.
No, it's a positive story, but it's a scary story.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at here close to where we worked, here close to our studio. There's that Portuguese shop not close here, not far away from us.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there back in 2014 because I was, moving from one job to another. That the owner, the husband, told me his story of how he came into business. Now, please understand, dear listeners, the story I'm telling you was somewhere in the 80s, somewhere in 1987, 88, thereabout. He was 16 years old, Helmut. When independence was about to start, his dad was one of those few, particular peoples that thought, because they saw the templates of Mozambique, what happened to Mozambique.
Mm-hmm.
They saw the templates of what happened, supposedly with, what's the country's name? Zimbabwe, when it changed its name from Rhodesia to Zimbabwe, mm-hmm. when Mugabe came in. You know, people were fear-mongering each other there.
Yeah.
And his dad packed up everything, sold everything, didn't tell him.
What?
Didn't tell him that he's leaving, his dad. And his dad just got on a flight and flew. He had to find out, cause he went somewhere and came back. He went out the Friday night and he came back, that his dad had sold the business, had packed up everything, had sold the properties, everything, took all the monies and stuff, got on an airplane back to Portugal. And he was like, what? My dad left me. I was like, are you sure? He said, yeah, Dwight, my dad left me here alone because his parents had divorced or the mother had passed away. But he said his dad literally left him here.
and done.
The only thing he knew, the only skill set he had, Helmut, was working in a shop, which was his dad's shop, and selling, you know, obviously having a takeaway, you know, portion of chips, you know.
That's
and,
it.
And obviously selling goods every day, having a shop, like that mini market idea, that mini market idea. How much you can't go wrong with a mini market idea? That's all he knew. That's what his dad had. He was 16 years old when his dad did that to him. So what did he do? He went to other people, obviously, and I'm obviously in the illustrating to the listeners that there is a, that there's a supportive element that existed back then in communities. He went to the community and he borrowed money to start something. And he started there and he's been there for 40, almost 40 years, the same spot. Now, if you want to know the idea of self-made millionaire from nothing,
mm-hmm.
those are examples that exist right there. They exist in Namibia. It's not your Steve Jobs's, your Bill Gates's. We have people
like... They've got the garage with the mommy connections.
You even have, or the South African guy, Mark Shuttleworth, him. Mm-hmm. It's not those guys. That guy, literally, he was 16 years old. He was abandoned. He had to start from something. He did it. He made it. He's there. Now, when I hear that the person has the idea, I was like, please, please know of your location. Please know where you're going to set up location. Please know it. Please. The basics in marketing is know your distribution point. Where do you see people having money? What are you going to sell them? And then you hear 10 to 20 Ks outside of town. Eish,
now,
Maibra. Helmut, there's, on
the
your
training
way,
was given.
And I know you've been to Swakopmund recently.
Yeah.
Okay, not recently, like in this year. Like,
not this year.
Let's say at least in last year.
Yeah.
Nah. On your way there, did you see that, there's a little stop somewhere where people stop for biltong? It's got like two houses on either side of the highway.
Both sides of the road.
Yeah. But the main one where people pull into is here on the in the right hand side if you're going on your way to the coast. Right hand side on your coast. If you come back from the coast, it'll be on your left. But it's got like trees around it. It's like a weird stop. You would have seen it. It's a weird stop.
I've seen a bunch of buildings, but I never really paid attention to them.
Okay, so
because every time I go there, I'm just going straight to the, what's that, half bridge to the US thing?
No, I'm not talking about Cape Town. I'm talking about Swakop.
No, not Cape Town, dude.
Which one?
Yes, we are talking about Swakop.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look, it's standard, okay, just a little bit of a, you know. So
Cape Town is a half-built highway, I know that.
Swakop also have a half-built bridge, like across the ocean. That one.
The jetty.
Thank you very much. Now, I see.
How about the jetty is an offloading and unloading mechanism?
Yeah, I know that. Look, everyone that goes to Swakop is like, it's against the law not to take a picture at the jetty in the same way that,
the jetty is an unsafe structure. How do you want to take a place, take photos there?
It's a tradition. Everyone that comes to Windhoek knows that it's a tradition to have that Sanlam building in the background at Zupak. When you are taking pictures. But back to this. believe me, you have no idea how many pictures that I have seen with that building
know,
in the background.
I know, which is just, it's just weird because it's mind-boggling. I'm like, why do you want that building in the background? What, shouldn't it not be you in the park? And then you realize it's people with KFC sitting behind the...
I know.
Sitting behind the photographer.
You've got to love this country. But yeah, just a... two things that I have to point out. One is a correction of the point I made, I made earlier. The Nantu Likwafela, it's, the point I made earlier of them being part of the 121 constituency initiative.
Mm.
They are not, they're actually, part of the implementation.
They are part of the tripartite
implementation.
Agreement, yeah.
Like they are playing the supervisory role.
Yeah.
They are not, playing both, player
and
coach.
Beneficiary,
Otherwise, that would have raised a lot of questions. Yeah, that Nantu Likwafela initiative is involved in the implementation of the 121 Constituency Youth Enterprises program in Namibia. This effort is part of a broader strategy to support youth entrepreneurship and economic development. This obviously feeds into our overall 2030 developmental agenda.
Yeah.
And now, so the Walvis Bay, obviously that one also, that one needs a whole new revisiting. I'm telling you. And now the youth of Epupa Trading, Epupa Youth Trading is a business intending to trade in auto repairs. Oh boy. Now that one is, that one also had its own issues, but one that I'm just more interested in is the, Oshakati East Youth Trading. Like, Oshakati East Youth Trading is a brick manufacturing. That's the one that you pointed out that is having some, transport challenges.
Mm.
Now, the business received machinery valued at 260,000, including concrete mixers, spades, wheelbarrows, and a delivery truck, with 60,000 allocated for operational capital. And the business, 60,000, for operational capital. And the business currently produces approximately 2,500 bricks, weekly and 500 per day. And it is three permanent employees who are bricklayers. When I reached that part, I was like, thank God something is at least
starting something.
At least. Because now, the business faces significant transport challenges due to every business guys face challenges. Multinational, Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch faced a marketing challenge. And so did Jaguar.
Why did you have to bring them up, Helmut?
Well, I'm just pointing out, multinationals also face challenges.
I could never understand that Jaguar ad.
Me neither.
I never understood.
That's why you should never mix politics with business. But because that's just them trying to be politically correct. But what does that have to do with the marketing of your product though? Okay, fine, go ahead and be politically correct, but how is that in line with your business? With the goal that you want to achieve, which is to reach to your customers. All you just have to do is market a car and there's a car.
Now, here's the weird thing of it all, Hamlet. Okay, the weird thing is that they spent millions on that ad.
And obviously. So did Anheuser, by the way.
And they also spent,
Bud Light.
Yeah, they also spent millions on that Bud Light ad. Where actually most of the men went and said in the US, I'm not drinking that thing after that ad. I'm not drinking this beer.
Yeah, and you pointed out that, okay, now if you look at Anheuser-Busch with their Bud Light, for example.
Yeah.
Some of the, their biggest consumers were very conservative guys in the further south.
Yeah. And most of them were men that loved the taste.
Yeah.
They felt that the beer had a health perspective to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the advertising messaging was all about politics.
I know, right?
Gender politics. And they were
gender
like,
politics,
what? And they were like, what? It's a beer. But then the same thing also happened before them was the Gillette campaign.
What's that now?
The Gillette campaign in 2022 also had the same issue. And then all the guys went like, I'm not buying Gillette anymore. Because they also went and played gender politics in the product.
Just why?
Why? Why? Why would you do that? I mean, which is also primarily some of the peculiar things that have obviously run through our favorite product classification, gaming.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you look at Sony spent $400 million on a game that they had to cancel that only lived for 2 months. What was the game's name again? I almost said Marathon, but it's not Marathon. Marathon is Bungie. What was the game's name? But they spent $400 million in almost 10 years in development.
You know what one Nigerian guy pointed out? Why we should actually, yes, have politics, but have its own area. Because of the introduction, now you have to understand, especially in the game that I play, or, most of the time, they are introducing a lot of more like women skins, which is a very good thing. But at least, these women are not dressed for combat. This is someone who is dressed for grocery shopping.
Yeah.
Now I have to snipe that thing. Now, look. Look, this is a video game. And then I came to learn that, about 60-70% of female skin that you see running around,
mm-hmm.
the main players behind them are guys.
Yeah, it's the same thing that I've discovered also in the game that I play, PUBG.
Mm-hmm.
most of the guys, they have, for some reason, Helmut, there was some sort of a thinking back then when the game came out, PUBG, that's not PUBG, mm-hmm. That if you select the male character or the male version of your character, the male hero supposedly is broader.
It's about agility.
But then the female character. So if you are trying to, if you're now in a perfect duel with someone else, then having a female character is sort of like you fit in, let's say you try to hide behind a tree.
Yeah.
You are slimmer than a male character.
Yeah.
But I've played that game for 3,000 hours, and I'll tell you today, Hamoud, that is the worst salad. That's the worst salad, what you call it? Or salami sandwich I've ever heard in my life. It doesn't care. It's based upon your skill set. That's the thing about gaming.
It all comes down to that.
If it's a player versus player gaming, it's all about your skill set. It's all about your reactions. It's all about your, your reactions.
Mind-body coordination.
Yeah, your reactions, basically. That's it. How quickly your eyes can perceive something in your peripheral.
That's it.
In your periphery, and how quickly you can react to things. That's it.
And look, there are a lot of things that plays into that. It has to do with your device that you're using, the sensitivity.
Another thing that works against us in Southern Africa or in Namibia is our internet latency.
Yep.
I mean, Helmut, there's something that showed up from the one streamer that I follow. Because the data centers are closer to them.
They have an advantage.
They have an advantage immediately over me. Helmut, it's something like point something, something, something of a second. Nah. Because the reason how the internet works is your computer is talking to another computer. Now remember, that computer is also connected to the other guy that you're busy fighting. So it's a tripartite agreement once again. The two of us are fighting, but we're connected to the same computer.
Yeah. Except you are far from the
same computer. My computer, I'm just, literally 10,000 kilometers away from that computer, and you're literally 20 kilometers away from it. So whose computer will have the best reaction speed? Obviously the guy that I'm fighting with.
Yeah, and you are playing using, you are competing with someone that's playing with a Area 51 Alienware, and you are using,
I have to build under 10,000 a PC. I have to think about.
I'm running on a budget here, dude.
I'm thinking about budgets, and I'm playing against people that are telling me, yeah, every 6 months I've got to swap out parts. I'm like, huh? Is this a car?
Now, let's go to Oshagati East now.
Yeah.
Where you will now become a very interesting, you will find a very, not Oshagati. Oshagati East is where I took a deep breath and went like, you know what, that is, there's something positive going on there. And then just right after that is Oshikuku Youth Development. Oh, dear Lord. Now, Oshikuku Youth Enterprise, that's on page 15. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oshikuku Youth Development, Oshikuku Youth Enterprise, which manufactures aluminium windows and doors, received material worth $450,000 and including $80,000 in capital and, in capital, startup capital, and a pickup truck, similar to the bricklaying guys.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, the business, however, is plunged by is plagued by poor financial management, internal disputes among beneficiaries, and lack of profitability. How is that shocking? Now the enterprise financial management has deteriorated with an outstanding loan repayment and a bank account closure. Like, this is one of, if not the worst story in out of the seven projects that were visited for, visited by the committee. And then you just scroll to, D, then your tears will just turn from water to blood.
Mm.
Now on November 30th, 2023, the enterprise withdrew 5,000 from its funds to organize and participate in Youth Expo. What was the initial idea of the business? To manufacture aluminium windows and doors. And then fast forward to, bam, you know what, let's take something, you'd say, okay, diversification, maybe. To participate in Youth Expo, which diverted resources from the business activities. Now, the money was spent on merchandise such as beverages and goat. Of course, there's Kapana involved. among other things. Now, as the situation worsened, one of the beneficiaries requested, oh yeah, you're gonna love this part, and was granted 5,000 to start a restaurant in Omandi village, signaling her intent to leave the enterprise. Thank you. Now, other beneficiary, now this one was like, time to go back to school, was granted 2,000 to pay for her school registration. Well, at least next year we don't have to worry about this because, well, it will be free. This stationery. Public, though not private.
And this is where the subject of entrepreneurship is crucial, Hamoud. Do you know that I said, okay, I won't get tired of using this reference ever in my life. I said in that class, yes, it was in my media degree class, but in that entrepreneurship subject, I had a classmate of mine who said, yeah, I had a business and then, you know, it just went poof, up in smoke. And then later on we go down in the lesson, you know, in the lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And at a particular point, the lecturer says, the business's bank account is not your piggy bank. It's not your slush fund. Even though the thing is making money, it's mm-hmm. not your slush fund.
It's not your it's emergency not
for you
fund.
It's not for you to take out from.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the owner, you're supposed to be paying yourself a salary, yes, but it shouldn't also be a salary about you driving the latest Merc in the city. It should be one that just you, which meets your needs.
In other words, if you have to buy the latest Mac, you have to save, you know, up
and there's
from
nothing
your
wrong,
salary.
That's... And there's nothing wrong with that, Helmut. There's literally nothing wrong with that. So, the classmate of mine goes like, huh? I looked to him and I said, you did not know this. As a business owner, the business is not your personal slush fund, not for you to dip your toes into or your palms, your sweaty palms into it. That means if people are asking you for money, say, name a brew shop. If it doesn't come out of your pay that you pay yourself from the
tell
business,
them you don't have money.
Then you say
you
don't have money.
Don't have money.
Then you say you don't have money because a business is a legal entity. It negotiates in contracts, it buys services, it acquires assets, it sells products, it pays for salaries, all those things. You need to look after, that's a child on its own. Mm-hmm. You have to look after it as the business owner. It's not for you to treat it like a slush fund. Never in the history of the world of business will you ever see anything more successful, Helmut, than family businesses. Never, ever. That uncle that I told you about,
mm-hmm.
whose dad left him here.
Yeah.
Homeboy married, has children. Yeah, the kids, I know that the kids all failed school. Yeah, sure. But they all work for him.
Yeah.
He still supports. He doesn't have to pay for a pension and social, okay, he pays social security for the employees that works for him.
Yeah.
He pays that. He pays salaries. But he will never have to pay a pension for himself. Because the business is the pension.
Yeah.
So, when he kicks the bucket, knock on wood, not that I wish that for anyone, but when he kicks the bucket.
That's on you.
But still, like that, what's that American, what's the name, that American secretary last week that said, but we all die. And people were like, oh wow, that means you need to cut the medical aid support in the US. But he said, but we still all die. But anyway, if and when his time comes, obviously in his own time, then he knows he lived, he could still have worked on his own time, his own terms,
mm-hmm.
up to that when his body decides to not support him anymore, obviously. But it's literally his lifeblood.
So, one of the main reasons why a lot of businesses fail is the inability to tell the difference between what you should use financially, or more like, the business money and your personal money.
Yes. Here's the next thing. What has been proven also in Namibia is that partnerships are bad. And I've seen it. I'm making that statement based upon observations.
Mm-hmm.
Helmut, Namibians steal from each other. I've never heard such scary stories. They steal from each other. Just to get to fishing quotas. Nah. They will come and approach you, say, yeah, you're from a disadvantaged position, ne? Give your ID. And you will never see money. And then the fishing quota gets sold to a Spanish fishing company or whoever, or South African. You'll never see a cent, but your name is on the document.
Is that a Namibian thing or is it just a corporate
world? It's Namibians!
Thing?
Namibians! They tried that crap with me in 2018.
No kidding.
Yeah! Wait, Namibians! Wait, but before we continue, we actually have a short live read and then we come back heading into our exciting Friday size discussion.
Yeah, we're starting with the word. Do I try to buy fishing quotas?
No, I wasn't gonna buy.
What?
I was approached to be asked, you know, I would have been part of this fish rod situation. I was approached to be asked, you know, listen, your surname is Mus Nama. I said, yeah.
He's coming from South Africa, so you know what?
And then, now can't you be part of, you know, an endeavor to also acquire? I'm like.
So this whole time I would be cooking you, like every morning.
I wouldn't have been here. Yeah, I would have been here, Helmut, but, you know.
Look, but you'd be loaded. Let's face it.
Yeah, but because I would have asked for more greater, you know, I want insight. What are the manis? You know, what are the manis?
One of the fish rod accused, Mr. Link.
But anyway, yeah. Getting back to our live read. This is a Velvice University live read. This is the Velvice University September intake 2025. All programs are fully accredited by NQA. Certificate in Health Sciences Foundation Level 4. This is a 1-year full-time course available at all campuses. Certificate for Enrolled Nurse or Midwife or Acushur Level 6. This is a 2-year full-time course available in Windhoek, Nkurunkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, Katimamulilu, and Otapi. Diploma in Environmental Health Sciences Level 6. This is a 2-year full-time course available in Windhoek. Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours. This is a 4-year full-time course available in Windhoek, Nkurunkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, and Katimamulilu. Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing Level 8. This is a 1-year full-time course available in Windhoek. Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing Level 8. This is a 1-year full-time course available in Windhoek. The application period is 1 June to 30 June 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever. So yeah, Hamoud, it's probably the best that I didn't say yes.
Yeah, thank heaven you didn't.
Because I would still have been loaded, you know.
Oh yeah, you'd be loaded, but I'll be broke. See, this
I would have been living in Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan.
No, I'm joking.
Well, at least you would have been to some of those, you know, holiday destinations where it was said by the fish rod accused, and I quote, the sun doesn't set. And, you know.
The sun does set.
Say cell phones with 2 SIM cards. Oh, sometimes the sun doesn't
set. No, the sun does set. Where? In Iceland?
Are we
talking about Iceland or are we talking about in general?
No, Iceland.
The sun does set in Iceland, bruh.
Well, sometimes during the time period of the year, it does.
Yeah, like now, where they are now. They have an early summer, an early spring.
So it's one of those times where they never see darkness.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Where the sun only sets literally, you only have nighttime at like at midnight. The sun sets at midnight or at 10 p.m.
That's it.
If you're in Berlin right now, the sun sets at 10 p.m. If you're in Moscow right now, because Moscow is slightly higher than Berlin, then you'd be at 12 midnight. St. Petersburg is also a nightmare.
Man, that will screw up my sleeping schedule. Mm.
It's one of the reasons why they sell you what they call it sun blockers. It's a kind of a curtain. Mm-hmm. So thick, if you close the curtain, it looks like nighttime in the room. So that's why that's sort of like
to simulate the darkness of the night, yeah.
And also to tell your body sleep. Because it's very difficult to acclimatize to such a particular kind of a thing. I mean, in the southern hemisphere, Namibia already is pretty south in the southern hemisphere. Yeah. Now, if you're in South Africa, you don't see such weird anomalies of summer being at 10 p.m. at night.
And the sun is still staring at you.
No, it doesn't. The sun just sets later. Maybe at 7:30 at night, close to 8 p.m. at night, but it doesn't set only at 12. I mean, Helmut, you can even be in Argentina. Argentina's most furthest point is in that province that they call Patagonia, area of Patagonia in Argentina, southern Argentina.
Yeah.
Now that point is apparently closer to the southern South Pole than South Africa and New Zealand are. To the South Pole. Now at Patagonia, even. The sun also sets at 7:38 p.m. at night in summer. what's up in Europe that you've got literally sunlight at 10 p.m. at night?
Well, because they are in the, you know, they are literally on top of the world, you know, like landmass wise.
It
and
could,
also,
it also,
I think it also have to do with the position of the sun relative to their.
There's another thing also, how the earth also lies. You know, the earth is that weird
tilt at an angle.
Yeah, tilted scenario, which obviously, if you just have the sun in one constant position, because we all rotate around the sun, because there literally are Namibians that have asked me, how do we know that we rotate around the sun? I've been asked that here in the studio also. Like, I've also been asked, how do we know that the dinosaurs lived?
So the giant bones in museums are not enough?
The literature that exists supposedly is not enough.
That's why I like Rick and Morty. Yeah. Dinosaurs came back, you know, super evolved with their technology.
But Rick and Morty knows that there is content to work from, Helmut. I mean, we're talking to people that are, they just believe in one book.
Oh, the...
And that book was written by other men.
Oh, you know, the good one.
Yeah, it was written by other men, you know. And no one asks, okay, so who did you hear it from? Let's not start a religion
a rumble.
War. A religion war, yeah. But yeah, so where we left off, you still highlighted, you know, that the slash fund discussion.
Yeah, like, yeah, you were pointing out that, a lot of businesses fail because, you know, the owners, you know, can't tell the different, you know, the fact that the business that they, even though they own and run it, is a whole different entity. It's supposed to have its own separate bank accounts where, you know, if your personal account is in its negative and someone comes asking for money, you can't get for, you know, get money from the business account to assist them because, well, that will basically be like you, unless you are borrowing it, you know.
And paying it back.
Yeah, and paying it back. Yeah, yeah, because just taking it as, you know, the same way that you would from your personal bank account is not how the business is supposed to operate.
Now, here's something that that classmate of mine also highlighted, Helmut. So, it later on emerged in our conversation in the class that he was paying school fees, getting married on that money, buying a car, paying rent on that money. This is the from the business's bank account. This is from the business's bank account. This is not from he pays himself a portion as a salary from the business endeavor.
Yeah.
The business's full financing. Homeboy is using.
So you're basically eating into its you know, operational cost.
Now, at the heart of a successful business, meaning what keeps the things going, survival, the survival strategy, is cash flow, is cash, is money. How much you can't buy stock without money. And if you don't sell the stock, you don't have money.
So you have to buy
and sell,
sell it
at the same time. It's a continuous exercise.
Yeah.
Hence the reason also why COVID was a very devastating thing to any economy. Because that means your customers can't come to you to buy the stock. Now, must you spend more money to take the thing to the customer. But now you're being told your employees can't come to work.
I mean, even if you spend more money on taking the, you know, that, that particular product or service to the customer, you'll have to factor that extra cost that you're incurring on the price. And in the middle of a pandemic, your customer will be like, absolutely not.
And this is some of the things that you can even see why. In most cases, like, for example, these are politicians that went on the ground and they literally saw what provides sustainability. Hence the reason why I said a little bit earlier before the ad break, you will all, the most successful businesses in the world are family businesses.
Yeah.
When the mother and the father work together in the business, the kids are trained through the business endeavors. Even farmers are business people. If you see one of the children becoming a farmer, you know, inheriting the same role from the, one of the parents who was the farmer, you see continuation, survival, potential adaptability, potential further upscaling, potential further expansion. This idea of just where fellow Namibians to see, oh, the person is looks nice and stuff like that. How about? It's so easy to talk to so many of Namibians from other ethnic groups who had parents as business people, who were business people in the communities.
Mm-hmm.
They will tell you. It was, there's a word we use in Afrikaans, broekskeer. Broekskeer is literally that it was tough in some cases, the starting points.
Mm-hmm.
It was tough. So when I say broekskeer, imagine times 100. Just imagine that. Times 100. Meaning, they opened a business to survive. They didn't open a business to employ.
Mm-hmm.
To employ is an expense. So when you think about like in your future endeavors, if I'm going to do a business, now if you're going to hire people,
yeah,
how are they going to improve what you're going to do? It shouldn't be a discussion of I'm just creating jobs for the sake of creating jobs.
Yeah.
And that is one of the fallacies that even the standing committee started off from.
Yeah.
Them and the guys from the agro-processing,
yeah.
the economy and public accounts committee.
Yeah.
Because they all say it's about job creation, job creation. Okay.
So you're missing the whole point.
Job creation should be based upon, are we making money to employ? It shouldn't just be, I'm opening a business. Come look, I've got employees. Yeah, but are you selling?
This is actually one of the biggest, what led to one of the biggest debate in the legal, you know, more like you know, in the Namibian legal system, that is between employers and the Namibian government.
Yeah,
during the COVID-19 pandemic, because employers were basically doing the calculations with regards to the reduction in their operation and the money that they were making in return. Then they saw that, you know what, at this drop in return, you know, in revenue, I cannot sustain 100 workers. For me to, you know, for me to stay afloat business-wise,
yeah,
I need to let go of at least 5. Then the government sits there like, yeah, you know what, you are not allowed to dismiss employees. And like, what the heck?
And then the president was taken to court. We got an ad break, guys.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
So, 10 minutes before we hand over to the business and economic segment, guys. So, obviously, well, this is where I, you know, every time I reflect back to that, a dispute that the government had with employers mostly coming out of the private sector.
Mm.
You can see that, even if there were a lot of people out of the private sectors that were trying to, that were trying to take advantage of the, of the COVID-19, imposed lockdowns to dismiss employees, it would have been very difficult to tell because, well, lockdowns were implemented and people were not going anywhere. Therefore, it was very difficult, especially in the hospitality industry, for one to make revenue at the time when all the hotels were basically locked down and borders were shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So, at that point, every business owner is going, and you don't have to have an MBA for you to find out that, for you to sustain 100 employees, you need products that you are selling or services that you are selling to sell for you to make the money.
Mm-hmm.
That will, that will obviously distribute in terms of, distribute in terms of operation, or which will include salaries into your employees.
Yep.
And, profits and, maybe just, allow you to enjoy yourself, left, right and center. But the point is, business wise, you need to operate and make money for you to afford all the expenses. If you are not making enough, you will have to reduce the expenses, which more often leads to what? Reduction in workforce.
And that's where you sometimes see, Hamoud, that in most cases, politicians don't have the basics. And that's basic mathematics you just outlined there.
Uh-huh.
The basics in if what I need to make, it becomes less, then what I am paying as an outgoing scenario
also
needs to be reduced.
Yeah.
That particular balancing act is what every company in the world, even the state-owned enterprises, have to do. They have to play a balancing act. It's only in the government where you've got the nice protection of the Public Service Commission, where Literally, you have to prove hell and high water exist at the same time. How you need to reduce staff.
Yeah.
Hence the reason also why I had the little bit of an outburst back in last week. Remember that I'm sick and tired of hearing that the police and the army have to be sort of like the bottom feeders. The quality of, the quality of soldiers and people that we want to appoint. Why can't they have, recruitment programs for people that are graduates?
Yeah.
I mean, the army has a medical division. The army has, or the NDF has a engineering division.
Yeah.
They've got a, they will have a science division. Why are they bottom feeding from people that failed English, grade E, who get some E symbols and stuff? Why are we still persisting with this?
Well, easy, but at least you can say,
And really, Hamoud, we really have to look ahead as Namibians. We really have to look ahead.
Yeah.
In terms of playing the nice guys and say, you know what? Shame. You know, you failed high school. Why did you fail high school? Why did you exit at grade 11? Why did you exit at grade 10?
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, I didn't pay attention. Like our discussion of yesterday, the hubbly bubbly.
Yeah.
Where we saw the standing committee there was told, and we're talking about the future, ne? Because remember, a lot of the kids that fail because of the poor attitude and behavior there, from the Hubbly Bubbly report, are the guys that get into this youth enterprise and unemployed youth discussion.
Yeah.
It's them. Now, you can see causality in a limited scope. You can see causality here. Habits, potentially leading to negative habits like drug usage, or drug consumption usage, alcoholism. And now they are the guys that can't find jobs because they didn't pass grade 12. They can't apply for a NSFAF loan. And now they are asking for some sort of a youth entrepreneurship endeavor or support system. And you see literally what happens there. One decides to go and pay for, was it the Oshikuku one? The Oshikuku project. Three of the partners decide to go and participate at a youth expo, splurging on merchandise for no reason. You don't have to be at expos. You don't have to be there. If there's no clear cut business strategy that you will make money from paying for money to be there.
Look at the national, this whole national youth service. Hang on a second. How did I just hop and skip all those things? But look, the initial idea of the gentleman that he, of the guys that decided to split up, one going in the direction of one going the direction of starting a restaurant, a lady. Yeah. And the other one, I think it was also a lady that decided, she needed $2,000 for registrations. And, the initial idea, that they had together when they asked for the money was for them to start, to start a door and window frame business. Door and window frame.
Which is a good business because people are building houses in that vicinity.
How that took a whole different type of a turn. Now, that's actually one of the most very embarrassing scenario in that, because again, from the beginning, the committee is just pointing out the possible mismanagement of funds, like from the get-go. So, obviously, this is one of those things that's also I think if you ask me lead to oversight must be more frequent.
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah, the oversight the oversight must be more frequent. And one thing that you're going to, oh my God, what you're going to love is the Omusati Production Garden. Omwani Production Garden is rain-fed irrigation garden, primarily focusing on mahangu production, which is a key crop in Namibia. The garden is located in the Okongo constituency in the Ohangwena region. The garden employs 3 permanent staff members alongside 2 security guards. Nationally, there are 70 trainees from the National Youth Service involved. Mm-hmm. Now, it produced 250 kgs of mahangu each season, spanning 200 hectares. Now on those ones, the committee identified the need to upgrade the flushing machine to improve efficiency, and the garden hires 10 casual workers. Like, it's one of those very excellent example of what, that's when we would go back to the tripartite, oversight guys. That is the directorate of which was at some point the Minister of Youth, which are now under the Minister of Education.
Yeah.
And, Nantuli Kwafela now on this one, and the National Development Bank. Now on this was an excellent investment, because these guys at least look. Business is not easy. It's going to come with challenges. So, everyone that tries to make it work, I give them, give them credit where it's due.
Mm.
Yeah. At least they are not being kicked out of urban area 20 kilometers out of town. Sorry, Valvis Bay. But, and then you have bear hawkers, also is in there, because they visited seven of them, seven projects.
Yeah.
Some obviously are doing well. In comparison, and others are just decided to go south, like
not south in direction, but south in performance.
Yeah,
you know, Helmut. That's
Well, let's take a commercial break. We come. Someone keeps yelling. No, it's not a commercial break. It's just a break.
Unless it's
like, look,
it's a commercial break. I know they're listening. I know.
Which is why I'm firing shots.
They might call us after the show and go like, it's a commercial break still.
youth empowerment in terms of, in terms of investment by the government, at least, when you look at this, tap ourselves in the shoulder. I think the committees can, and basically everyone that was involved into the implementation of this product, projects, can just look at the youth in the eyes and say, well, it may have been late, but the money was provided. Now, how are you, what have you made out of it? The block, the bricklaying guys is doing great. The aluminum windows and door frame guys, one of the worst scenarios. They didn't even go into details on how the, forget this, the registration, the restaurant investment, the 5,000, diversion is going. And whether or not it can be factored in as part of the initial product, like a project at this point. And now, because put in mind, this is not just a handout. At the end of the day, you will have to pay back the money.
But it did look like a handout, because if you can see how people are diverting things, and I know that the standing committee were obviously, they were obviously doing a fact-finding mission.
Mm-hmm.
They were given a list of things, and they went out and asked regarding the list. So, how did these things go? We want to know. Is your business running? And they get to the Oshikuku guys, and they go like, oh, okay. So,
what business? The school registration, restaurant, or the aluminium?
Yeah. And the school is not even a business. The school is like paying for my school fees.
Yeah, that's not even a business.
Yeah, it's not even a business endeavor. So once again, how did all of that go? Is it, because all I can see, Amr, is clearly which is one of the most negative things always to observe in Namibian society. Is you're given something to make something out of.
Mm-hmm.
The people are putting trust in you. Then there's an element of entitlement to say, you know what? I don't want to be part of this thing anymore. I don't like you anymore, Helmut. And then there I go. What?
So let's just split. We are not agreeing because of just one disagreement. Let's just split. And because, applied for the money together, you just take yours, I take mine. But then, if you are going to go that direction, now, when the committee shows up, to what they were expecting was to find something that resembles a door and window aluminum and door frame manufacturing enterprise.
Yeah.
Only to run into the group and they're told, actually that enterprise that we told you that we were running with, we abandoned that. We know we didn't tell you that we were abandoning, but actually we did. Now what's happening is there's a couple of mismanagement. They were not even explaining what sort of mismanagement, but because it's also self-explanatory in the way that I think only two guys had access to the bank accounts who were, I think, I'll give them credit in a way that they were generous. You want the registration money? 2K. Thank you very much. Now, you want to start your own interview? Don't worry. We don't need to notify the guys that gave us the money. We'll just make our own decisions here. You go and start a whole type of restaurant. Mm. Yeah, so
things are wonderful, ne?
Well, the economy is doing wonderfully
for some.
Mm-hmm. So we are here to assure you people and assure the youth that the economy is now on 3 minutes past the hour of six. If you just tuned in, you have tuned in towards the end or signing off of the Home Run guys. That's Hamilton Dwight and the entrance of the business and economic segment, more like the beginning of the business and economic segment program with yours truly, King David. Now, as for moi, until Monday.
For me, until Sunday, guys. And on that note, enjoy the rest of your programming in our company.
Like Michael liked to say, don't do something I wouldn't do, but if you do, name it after me. They're still repeating that thing. What? It's name.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Mukungu lelewa tuko maikuto wa mina apili kwa mavuchaziva. Uvele kisema app ato lokasi nchavu kamso. Zakare liferile. Mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zalivuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba app. Mwikutwe kulibusi ya mbasa antoye mwietuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe marizo hola mina. Hamuvone. Imba encha, miencha falizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilini, kukopanya naha, nikuhasa nyali njira mlimu. Zengi, zefu mani hamasifera sesifa app ya imba, kize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaimuriro, Catholic, simane kakarunga, Africans, nizengi zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kireke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-235-8063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.